Bibles. You can go anywhere. It's all good. Somebody say amen. I haven't found one verse that I don't like. I like it all. And I like getting back in them maps and just walking where Paul went. Amen. I like it all. I want you to find with me tonight, if you will, I want you to go to Luke chapter number 10 tonight. Luke chapter number 10, if you'll find that place with me. And if you will, I don't know what your custom is at this church necessarily, but if you don't mind, would you stand to your feet all over the house? If you cannot stand, it's all right. You're not going to offend me at all. But would you stand in reverence of God's word, and we'll try to take a text, give you a thought that the Lord's given us, and pray that it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Luke chapter number 10. Somebody say amen. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say hold up. Good. Ain't nobody said hold up. All right. If you haven't found Luke, it's in the New Testament. If you still don't know where it's at, just open your Bible anywhere, smile. Nobody will know the difference. Luke chapter number 10, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 38. I was about to say verse number 30. That's not where I want to go. Verse 38. The Bible says this in Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, being Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Boy, that'd be a good place for us to get to tonight. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? I don't know about you, but I don't like tattletales. I didn't like them in school days when all the people try to get you in trouble. How many of you didn't like those people? I didn't like them back then, and I don't like them even in the Bible. Martha is trying to get her sister in trouble with the Lord, and she said, bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered her, not in the way that Martha thought he would, but Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Notice that. If Jesus ever speaks your name once, you better listen. If he calls your name twice, you really better listen. That's like mama calling all three of your names at the same time. She means business, and so did Jesus. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Tonight, I want to point out two things. You can have a seat. I want to point out two things. It's a comparison and contrast between these two ladies that are in the same house. Notice what it says at the end of verse 41 and the beginning of verse 42. And I want to say this, and then I'm going to pray. The Bible said that Jesus told Martha, you're careful and troubled about, you're stirred up and you're worried and fearful about many things. But then Jesus said, but one thing is needful. Can I say in this day and age, it is easy for all of us to get caught up with many things. There's a lot of things that's going on the outside of this church house that are distractions to what's going on the inside of this church house. Let me say it like this so a few more of you would get with me. While I've been up here already reading the scripture, somebody's mind has already went to what they're going to do tomorrow. There's a teenager in here already thinking about what shows on TV tonight, and your mama done drug you over to the house of God. How dare her? There's many things that will distract you, but one thing is needful. There's many things in life that can be successful, but one thing is needful. There's many things that are doable, but one thing is needful. There's one thing or many things that are commendable and people will applaud you over. But tonight I want to point out that there's one thing that is needful. There's so many hats that we wear in this day and age. I personally wear many hats. I don't know necessarily where you come from. I don't know who all you are and what all you have. But if you're a family man or you're a family lady, you have a lot of things that you are required to do. Many things that you are asked of to do. I am a father. I'm thankful that I got two little blonde-headed girls right there. And I'm trying to be the best daddy in this day and age that I can. This world will try to eat them up. It will try to destroy them. It's my job to stand at the doorway of my house and be the priest of my household and stand and say, as for me and my house, the world can do what they want to, but we're going to serve the Lord. There's things, listen, daddies, we've got to be guard dogs. The world wants you to be a lap dog. It's time for you to be a guard dog. And don't let some of the things into your house that wants to get in your house. Men need to rise up and be men. I don't have to say that in that church. It's preached enough. But I want to say that is a hat that I wear. There are many things that I do. I'm trying to be a good husband to my wife. I'm a preacher. I'm a student of the Word of God. And I want to be the best student that I can be. And there's a lot of things that is required of me to do. But this week, I don't want to get caught up in the many things I could be doing. I want to get caught up in the one thing that I should be doing. I want to find my way to find that one thing. And I love what Jesus said. There's many things over here you could be doing, but one thing is needful. And watch this. He said, and that's the good part. Tonight, I want to point out this. And this week, I want some people that will make up their mind that there's a lot of places we could go. There's a lot of things we could do. There's a lot of things we could be involved in, but one thing is needful, and I'm going after that good part. There's bad parts of life. There's things that will break your heart. There's things that will hurt you. There's things that we could all talk about life. That's bad parts of life, but I don't want to talk about that. I want to go after that good part. I want to find my way to get to that good part. How many of you would make up your mind this week that whatever is in me, I'm going to give God all I've got, and I'm going after that good part. Tonight, I want to preach on that subject real quickly, finding that good part. Can I tell you, you don't just stumble across the good part. You got to make up your mind that that's what you want to do. The good part don't just hang out with you and don't follow you around everywhere you go. You've got to go after that. Remember what Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Too many people are going after things and they're missing him. But tonight I want to ignore all the things and say, God, you take care of all that, I'm going after you. He should be our priority. If you agree with that, say amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd help us tonight physically. I need a touch from you. Help me in my voice as I try to preach to your people. God, help me not to be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal to these people. God, I beg you, I don't want to get in your way. I ask that you would help me to try to be a conduit of the Word of God. Lord, get it through me and get it to your people. I ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, physically, I need a touch, but more importantly, spiritually tonight, I desperately need a touch tonight. I ask that every distraction that came in here, God, every demonic influence that tried to walk into this church house, I ask you to run it back to where it came from, and Lord, you would take up precedence in this place. God, you would use this service to turn somebody's attention back to you. I'm thankful for a church that shows up for revival. God, for a church that desires to meet with you. Lord, I feel like that I'm just coming behind and just reaping some of the benefits that somebody's already been sowing in this place. And I thank you for that. Thank you for this preacher. Thank you for this staff. Thank you for all those that have invested in this very meeting tonight. Bless them in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, we'd humbly pray, help me as I preach. Amen and amen. I want to show you tonight how Jesus shows us in the house that you can be in the presence of God, but the presence of God not be in you. Martha was in the same house as Mary, but they did not receive the same thing together. Martha was so busy about doing things for God that she did not realize that there's things that God needed to do for her. And Martha got to that place where she sat down, she stopped being busy, and she received what God wanted to give her. Can I say it like this? There's a lot of people that's running around and they're trying to find religion. Religion ain't going to help you. It's going to be a relationship with a man named Jesus. There's a lot of people that are trying to exist and they're doing a busy work, but they're not seeing the results and they're not reaping what they thought they would get from it. Can I tell you something? That it does matter where you're at in the house of the Lord. You can be in the same house but not get what you need. You can sit in a church service and somebody get up here and get exactly what they came for, and then you sit back there and you don't get what you needed. Can I tell you something? It's not God's fault that we don't have what we need. It is our fault that we got so much stuff that keeps us from getting to Him. But tonight I want to make a bold statement that anything that separates, anything that distracts, anything that keeps me from getting to the place where I can be close to God, that stuff needs to go somewhere else. That stuff needs to be removed. It can be sin. It can be self. It can be all the things of this world. It can be success. But I want to tell you something. Tonight I done made up my mind that I don't want nobody closer to God than I am in the house. I want to be as close to Jesus as I've ever been. I want to say it like this. I want to find that good part. How many of you want to find that good part? Just wave at me tonight. Can I tell you that in finding that good part, I want to show you that there are some things that we need to understand and observations that we need to make about that good part. Martha was doing things, she said, for the Lord. And isn't it amazing? This ain't in my sermon, but I want to tell you. Isn't it amazing that when we take our eyes off of what we're doing for Jesus and what others are not doing, that's when we get bogged down in life. Martha was so concerned with what Mary was not doing that she took her eyes off of what she was doing. By the way, you cannot be worried about what everybody else is doing. By the way, if you're doing it for the right reason and you're doing it for the right cause, you ain't going to worry about what other people are doing. You ain't even going to focus on what other people are doing. You're not going to worry. Listen, I want everybody to get in it, but if everybody chooses not to, that don't mean that I got to sit back with my arms folded and I've got to miss out on it. I want to tell you, if God's doing something in the house, I want to get in on what He's doing. But it's a decision we all have to make. I want to show you some observations, three at least, observations of finding that good part. And if you'll observe them with me tonight, maybe, just maybe, we can go home with our minds made up. We're going after that good part. I want to find that good part of life. I want to find that part where I'm just dwelling in that place in the secret of the Most High God. I want to dwell under the wings of the Most High God. I want to draw closer to God than I've ever been. How many of you want to get as close as you can? Can I say it like this? There's more to God than what you know about Him right now. There's still so much more that we can learn about Him. Oh, Paul Paul at the end, I'm trying to get my sermon, but I'm getting real happy as I'm preaching. Paul at the end of his life said that I may know him just a little bit more and the power of his resurrection. Listen, I've spent enough days fighting hell by the acre. I need to plug into something that's got some power into it. I want to get close. I want to get so close that when you see me, you don't even see me at all. All you see is him. Somebody say amen. Observations that we must make about finding that good part. First of all, I want you to observe this. That good part is positional. That good part is positional. If you're with me, say amen. That good part is positional. That means that you've got to get in the right position to receive and experience that good part. You can't just keep hanging out where you've always hung out. You can't just be in the same position that you've always been. You can't just haphazardly make up your mind, well, I'm going to be one of them church people and experience that good part. You've got to get in the right position. Notice what it said about Mary. It said Martha was in the kitchen. She was cooking fried chicken and mashed potatoes. But Mary was seated at his feet. Notice what the text says. It said Mary was one that sat at his feet. I want to make a bold statement right here. This is not a past tense sat, but it is a continual place that Mary would find herself at. I'm going to get into that in just a little bit, but keep that in your mind. Remember, this thing is positional. What do you mean by that, preacher? Let me take you to Psalm chapter number 1. It's one of the greatest books of the Bible, one of my favorite books of the Bible. The choir has already sung from Psalm 23. Psalm chapter 1 says this, blessed is the man. Stop. That word blessed means happy. It means joyful. It means people that have something about them that everybody else don't have. I want to tell you something. When the world looks at me, I don't want them to look at me and say, that's one miserable Christian. That's why I don't go to church. That's why I don't want to be a Christian. That's why I don't follow the Lord. But when I go through struggle and I go through trial, I still want to walk around like I'm blessed, like I'm happy, like I'm still joyful. No, everything ain't right in my life. No, I don't have all the pieces that I thought I'd have at this point. And no, I can't get those pieces that I do have to fit. But I'm thankful that I'm still blessed. I'm still happy serving Jesus. I'm having more fun than I've ever had in my life. Do I not look like I'm having a good time up in the house of God? I'm enjoying serving the Lord. All right, back to our text. Blessed is the man, watch this, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Stop with me. That's three positions. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, or seated in the seat of the scornful. If you're going to be happy, if you're going to find that good part, you've got to get out of the territory that you've always dwelt in. You can't keep listening to the way the world is going and keep getting counsel from the way the world is going. You can't let the world counsel you on your marriage. You can't let the world counsel you on how you conduct your life. You can't let the world, listen, I know Christians that let the world tell them more about who God is than they let the preacher tell them about. Listen, the world has no idea what a good life is, what a real life is. Jesus said, I've come that I may give you life and you can have it more abundantly. You've got to get out of the counsel of the world. You can't stand in the way of sinners. You ain't gonna find what we got got in here somewhere at a bar. You ain't going to find what we got hanging out around Hollywood and listening to the ways of the world. They have no idea. They can't understand. It's not standing in the way of sinners, and it's not seated in the seat of the scornful. But watch this. But his delight, whose delight? That blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Stop with me. There's things that Hollywood, Netflix, and all that cannot feed your soul, that only the word of God can feed your soul. That's a blessed man. That's a good man. That's a happy man that gets his joy, gets his peace, gets his strength from the word of God. His law, he delights in the law, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. Watch this. And he shall be like a tree planted by, that's positioned, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Why? Because he's positioned by the rivers of water. That's constantly when everybody else is barren and everybody else has no leaves and everybody else is dried up and died. He's positioned in a river. He's positioned in a place that constantly feeds him. He's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. I like this part. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Somebody shout glory right there. What is that? That's positional. How does that man get so blessed? He's positioned. Let me ask you a question tonight. Where are you positioned at right now? You say, preacher, you're too loud and you're sweating too much. I'm just trying to burn off all the calories I've been eating with him. But I'm serious about it. We're feeding our soul with stuff that God never intended us to feed our soul. And it's killing us, and we're drying up and we're dying in our spiritual condition. But if we're going to go after that good part, you got to be positioned in the right place for it. Not only is it positional, I'm going to move through this. Not only is it positional, but it's also intentional. The Bible says that Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about, you're careful over too many things, troubled in your soul over too many things. Many things have got you distracted. But one thing is needful. And I like this part. And he said, and Mary, the one you get mad at, she chose. Y'all may not want no preaching tonight. It's all right. I'm going to preach anyway. I'm going to have myself a good time. She chose. Ain't nobody made her do that. Why? Help me, Jesus. Why should I make her go do something else that gets her away from me? I ain't the one that made her do what she's doing right now in the first place. I was in a service and a woman was up shouting and shouting to God, giving God praise. The old preacher leaned over and said, I wonder if they're going to set her down. And another man of God said, they didn't tell her to stand up. Well, tell you something. Jesus said, why you want me to tell her to go do something else? She made a choice. She could have been in there with you, but she made a choice. Do you know why? Because finding that good part is intentional. It is not something that you just haphazardly happen in your life. It is something you determine in your mind that I'm going after it. I've done made up my mind that Jesus is all I need, and guess what? He's all I want. Mary hath chosen. Now let me ask you a question. Many of you are here tonight, but are you going the rest of the week make a choice? I'm going after him. I need that good. Listen, my children need that good part. Mamas, daddies, I know that there's kids that, boy, they just don't get with all this stuff, and it don't seem like it's taken. But I remember days when I was a kid and I'd sit there and play with matchbox cars on the floor, and the preacher would be up preaching and he'd be sweating and shouting and hollering and standing on a pew and pointing that 50-foot finger down everybody's throat. And I'm sure at some point my parents thought, I wonder if they're getting what they need. But to this day, I still remember playing with those matchbox cars and then looking up and watching that preacher for just long enough for something he said that stuck down in my soul. He'd read those words of God. By the way, the Bible says this. I'm about to have a fit. He's talking to me. This ain't in my notes, by the way. This is just for you. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. There's stuff down deep inside of the hearts of those children that they've heard that man jump up and say, that right now you may not see the fruit from it. You may not see the fruition from it. But one of these days, as long as you keep those babies under the nurture and admonition of God, and mama, if you make up your mind that you're going after God, daddy, if you make up your mind you're going after God, there's a good chance that those babies are going to follow right along with you. And if you'll keep them in church, they're going to catch on some stuff that the devil didn't want them to catch on, that when they get out in the world, that stuff's going to start bubbling up in the recesses of their soul, and they're going to start thinking, Budweiser hadn't got everything for me. Jack Daniels ain't helping me, but what that preacher preached about, that Jesus Christ, that's what I need. See, it's a choice we've got to make. Boy, I had this little cousin that I grew up with. He's about 10 years younger than I am. And he got on my nerves. I hate him to this day. He sucked his thumb till he was about 30. And he had my grandma. My grandma's dead and in heaven. Listen, that woman could make some, I'm talking about baked cookies. I mean, some sure enough heaven God sent chocolate chip cookies. But my favorite was peanut butter cookies. I'm talking about with the real, I ain't talking about Jif. I'm talking about real peanut butter. Anybody know how to make that stuff? And I ain't talking about Keebler Elves making it and you buying it from Walmart with a little plastic container. I'm talking about she would make it from scratch. And you remember in those days, they used to take a fork and they'd make those marks on the top of that peanut butter cookie. They'd hashtag that thing. And y'all thought the kids and the millennials came up with hashtag? Grandma been hashtagging peanut butter cookies for years. Hashtag peanut butter cookies. By the way, if any of y'all make any, come see me. We got some merchandise we'll swap. Swap and shop, amen. But she'd make those cookies in the kitchen, and I'd be outside playing, and I'd start smelling those cookies cooking, and I'd run inside, and I'd reach up and try to grab one of those cookies, and my grandma would swap my hand. And she said, those ain't ready yet. I'll call you when they're done. I'd turn around, I'd walk out, and I'd look back, and that little brat that was 10 years younger than I was, he'd be standing right next to Grandma. And he'd have his little apron on, and he'd just sit there, and he's sucking that thumb, and then he'd look at me and say, and she'd reach down and say, you want to lick the spoon? He'd say, yeah, Grandma. He'd take a lick of that spoon and look at me and smile like a devil will. To this day, I want to beat him to death. It got to dawning on me that the reason that that little brat got to taste of those cookies before I did was because while I was outside doing my thing, he was following Grandma around everywhere she went. He'd tug on Grandma and say, God, can I have just a lick of that spoon? Oh, yeah, baby, you can have a bite. Grandma, can I get a bite of those cookies? Yeah, baby, you can get a bite of those cookies. Why was it that that little kid got to get stuff before I did? Because everywhere Grandma went, that little boy would be following her around in the kitchen. If Grandma was over there mixing up a bowl, he'd say, Grandma, I want to help mix up the bowl. And she'd let him mix up that bowl. I'm here to tell you that
that's how I have determined I want to be with him. If Jesus is moving, I want to move around with him. If he's in the kitchen stirring up something, I want to get in the middle of it. What he's stirring, and every now and then he'll reach down with a big spoon of grace and he'll let me lick myself till I'm absolutely happy in Jesus' name. What is that? It is a decision. It's intentional that wherever God is, that's where I want to be. God been stirring stuff up in this church, and I want to be right in the middle of it. If you stirring it up, I want to stir it up too. Those are the people who get the first bites of God's grace. Don't you want to be intentional with this? I'm going to do what Baptist people love. I'm going to close my Bible. But it don't mean anything. Not only is finding that good part, is it positional? The second observation, it is intentional. But I want to show you this through the Word and through Scripture. It's foundational. What do you mean by that? Foundational. What Mary did in our text was something that she set up for a lifetime to do. She laid the foundation of where she was at that moment. Listen, can I put it this way? This is not the last time that we see this cast of characters hanging out. In fact, the next time, Brother Scott, that we see Mary and Martha, they're not gathered around the table in the house. They're gathered around a tomb in a graveyard. Their brother Lazarus has died. You know the story. I don't have to tell it all to you. But I want to show you what God showed me out of the Scripture. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's foundational, finding that good part. And see, in this story where they lose their brother, you can find it in the Scriptures. You'll find that they sent word to Jesus and said, our brother Lazarus, the one, watch how they address him, the one that you love. Lord, you know you love this boy. He's sick. But here's how much faith we got. If you'll come, we know you can do it. And any other time, Jairus, you mentioned it a minute ago, Jairus came to Jesus, fell at his feet. The Bible said he worshiped him and said, Lord, my daughter's lying deathly sick, will you come? And Jesus said, take me to the house. So you would think if he did it for Jairus, who was probably a stranger to Jesus, surely for the ones that he was real close to, and he had been in their house before, and they had treated him so well, surely he would have moved. But you know what the Bible says about this story? He stayed. You got to understand something. I hope y'all got enough time for this. Anytime in Scripture you see God, he is usually, 99% of the time, he's on the move. Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a house that he just stayed up in. He was always on the move. In fact, in Genesis 1, the first chapter of Genesis, it says that when we're introduced to the Spirit of God, the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved on the water. Can I say it like this? God is always in motion. But watch this. If he's ever not in motion, he is saying more in his inactivity than he would in his activity. If he ever does stop and not do what you want him to do, and he don't move when you need him to, he's trying to teach you something more than he would if he did it like you said it. But in his inactivity, we, like them, get bitter. The Bible said he stayed behind. He didn't move. Then the word came. I got to speed it up. I got to help you with it. The Bible said that when the word came, Lazarus is dead. He's dead. It's over. You missed your window of opportunity. Then he moved. And here's what we already know about the scripture, and we can shout real good when it's them. And here's what we know. We know that in the end, what they were asking him to do would pale in comparison to what he really was wanting to do. And it's good for us to shout amen when it's them. But somebody is sitting up in here tonight, and God ain't moving like you thought he should. And all you can see is what he's not doing, and you don't understand what he is doing. Is so much bigger. I wish I could preach it like he gave it to me. So much bigger than what he's not doing. He moved when they thought it was too late. You know the story. You know the story. Stay with me. He finally gets to the edge of the city. He didn't even get back to the house. And the Bible said that Martha ran out. And she ran and found him in the street. And watch her words. She points that finger at him. She's good about doing that. Lord, tell my sister she needs to be working. It's amazing that what happened in the street was the same thing that had happened in the house. I hope I'm talking to some. If I'm talking to you, wave at me. I need to know who I'm talking to. I may just be talking to myself. She's in his face. She's saying, had you been here, her words, our brother would not have died. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, honey, you're doing it again. You're so worried about so many things that you just don't even understand. He said this, I am the resurrection and the life. She stopped him and she said, I know in the end you're going to resurrect him. Do you hear what she said? Y'all got time for this. She said, in the end, we know in the last days everybody's going to get resurrected. Jesus said, honey, you got enough faith to believe what I'm going to do in eternity, but not enough faith to believe what I'm going to do right now. And see, all of us trust him for down there. All of us trust him for the afterlife. But there's a lot of people sitting up in here tonight, you ain't trusting him for right now. And he said, Martha, I did not say that I came to bring resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection. See, you got to know something. He didn't just come with a briefcase and throwing out what you need. He ain't Santa Claus just giving you presents every now and then. He is what you need. Martha runs off and goes back to the house. And she gets her sister comes and her sister, the Bible says, came and I love this part, fell down at his feet. If you don't believe me, check me. It's in there. Stay with me. She said the same exact word for word statement that Martha said. At his feet, she said, Lord, had you been here, our brother would not have died. And watch Jesus. Jesus had to give Martha a lesson. But he gave Mary a blessing. She said, had you been here, our brother would not have died. He said, where'd you put him? Take me to him. Where's he at? What are you trying to say? See, Martha was busy about being in God's face that she never saw what she needed to see. But Mary got at his feet. There's a lot of people that they're busy about being in God's face. But I want to know, am I in a church with some people who don't get in God's face? But we know how to get to the place where we can get at his feet. See what they did in the house when everything was all right, that when everything fell apart, it was easy for her to find her way back to that same place. I want to say it like this, and I'm going to take my seat and I'm going to hush. If you'll start praising Him right now, if you'll start seeking Him right now, if you'll get in that position right now, it's not going to be hard when things don't go your way. You'll know how to get right back to the place that you started from. Finding that good part makes all the difference in the world. I wonder how many of you tonight, they've got musicians. I don't know if y'all want to give an invitation, that's fine. But I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight, you'd stand to your feet all over the house and you'd say, "Preacher, I'm going to say it like this, and listen, my hand's up right here too. There's times that I've gotten in God's face. But what I really want to do tonight is get at His feet. I want to find my way to that place where I'm going after that good part. And I want Him to know that there's nothing more important. The many things are not going to take me from that one thing." But tonight, would you just step out of your pew, out of your seat, walk down an aisle, grab your wife, grab your husband, grab your children, and say, "We're going after that good part in Jesus' name." Holy Spirit, I try to do it like You told me to. I sure hope that You got to be heard more than I did. I hope that You spoke to somebody's heart tonight. God, the truth of the matter is there's somebody here that's struggling. God, it's easy for us to be like Martha, always expecting You to do something for us. But God, may we be like Mary, finding our way so that we can do something for You. I ask You in Jesus' name that You would do what only You can do in the lives of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
You continue to pray, if you will. Blessing that was. So many distractions, so many ways for us to miss out on that good part. So often we spend so much time trying to do and minister. Pour into others, we try to do all that and we miss out getting poured into ourselves. I want that good part. I want to experience it this week. Mary had favor with God. I reckon I've ever seen that way before in John chapter number 11, but she had favor. She knew how to get a hold of His heart. It was at His feet. Tonight, maybe there's somebody in here that's never been to His feet. I hate to have a service and not give an invitation for salvation. I know the sermon was pointed directly at me and you as Christians, but maybe tonight there was somebody that's here. But if you were honest, you don't have that relationship with Jesus. Maybe there's never been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior and come into a relationship with Him. If that's you tonight, we'd heads bowed and nobody looking around, I wonder if you'd just lift your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you or come to you. I see that. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Is anybody else? Be honest with the preacher and say, I'm not sure. I've never had a time in my life where I've come into a relationship with Jesus. Trusted Him as my personal Savior. Is anybody else? Just asking you to be honest. Not going to embarrass you. Lord, we thank You for tonight. Lord, we thank You for the message that we've heard. Lord, I'm thankful that You can move in a service and speak to us no matter what our situation or need. But God, You can speak directly to every one of us in here with one message. Lord, tonight I'm thankful for what the preacher brought to us. Thankful for a challenge to get back where I need to be. But Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, for the one that's acknowledged their need of salvation. And Lord, I pray tonight that You'd do what we can't do. Lord, I pray that You'd draw them through the conviction of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd work. Lord, tonight I pray that they would yield to that and come to know You as their Savior. Come into a personal relationship with You. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. All heads are still bowed. If you raised your hand tonight, you want to get that thing settled, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to come right where I'm at and let me help you. It's your choice. It's your decision. But tonight, if you'll let us, somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you do that tonight, I want you to step out of your seat and come right down to me. All right. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, as we come to You, Lord, thanking You for what You've done here tonight in our hearts through Your word, through Your preaching, through Your preacher. God, I pray, Lord, that we take this home with us. Lord, find a place to get at Your feet. Lord, I pray that we would be intentional the rest of our lives about staying at Your feet. Lord, thank You. Lord, for those that are here tonight, we're able to hear. God, I thank You for those that were able to watch on Facebook. God, I pray that we do something with it. Not just be hearers of the word, but Lord, be doers. God, we'll be sure to give You all the honor, the glory, and the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.